The following program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I think we're ready. So in 3, 2, 1, what's up, goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And sitting to my left is my left, right? Yeah, it's my left. Is my stunning, beautiful wife, Nancy.
Hi.
We have a patron pick episode for you today. This pick comes from Kark, who is one of our patrons. I'm not quite sure what to say about this episode yet, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. This one's an iffy one. It's not as bad as Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bullerama, and it's not as good as Raw. I think it's right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really take any like major extremes either way for me either.
Well, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I mean, it's not an extreme pick, so.
It's your standard run-of-the-mill thriller.
Thriller. I wouldn't put this in the horror category.
No.
But before we do all that, before we give you our full opinions on the movie, I have a would you rather for Nancy this time.
Let me have it.
Okay. You remember the movie The Loved Ones? The Australian one, she keeps the guy captive in the house. She wants him as a prom date.
Yes.
Okay, we covered it with little Ben from watching films on the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lola, who is the main bad girl. All right. Would you rather have a threesome with Lola and Pinhead from Hellraiser, or have a threesome with Tiffany and Chucky in their human forms?
So Brad Dourif and I always forget her name.
Well, they're characters, but it would be Brad Dourif and whatever. I can't think of her name either. But anyway, so yeah, he's a killer. She's a whatever her character
killer
is.
Killer groupie.
Yeah, a groupie. I can't think of what her name is either.
I want to say
throw a blank.
Tilly?
Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yes, but they're characters, not.
Okay, so it's them. Tiffany and
Charles Lee Ray.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So would you rather have a threesome with Tiffany and Chucky or Pinhead and Lola from The Loved Ones?
Wait, is Pinhead in his Pinhead form?
Yes. He is not. He is not the army guy that he was.
Okay.
So yes, it is Pinhead. It is not his first form.
It would be very, I guess I would have to do Chucky and Tiffany.
Okay.
Just because they're an actual couple.
True.
And so they would know what each other likes and they would both agree on something that would be enjoyable for all of us.
However, you do remember how possessive Chucky got when she had what's-his-face over into her little trailer.
Yeah, but Lola is complete nutcase.
Well, okay, true.
You think I would come in between their relationship?
I don't think he would allow it, honestly.
Oh, and like Pinhead would.
Pinhead Pinhead is a demon to some and an angel to others, but he's also like this sadomasochistic.
But you could say the same thing about Charles Lee Ray.
You don't really learn his backstory.
No.
Honestly. I mean, you know he's a murderer.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Yeah. And
he's into, I think, he is into all that.
See, well, he's into the voodoo and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think Santeria. Tiffany I think Tiffany would be just as jealous and possessive of Chucky as he would be of her.
You think so?
Which would stand in the way.
But I feel like I am more familiar with them.
Okay.
So
that's your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd say I'm going with Pinhead and Lola.
Okay. Why?
Well, because Pinhead would show you the pleasure and pain. You know, the whole...
He would show you the pleasure and pain?
Just you in general. I'm just saying, like, you. I'm kind of at a loss in this one because, you know...
But either way, it always looks better when you're talking about a menage a trois between two women and one man.
Well, I couldn't make it easy because either way, we're going to have to interact with the same sex. But I think Lola would be a freak.
Like a freak in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Like, and Tiffany wouldn't?
I don't know.
Remember when she was taking her bath?
Well, she was just taking a bath. That was no big deal.
She has the whole like siren look.
Well, she's got the buxom, you know.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I'm picking Pinhead and Lola.
Okay. So you like this Lola bitch.
I had to come up with something that would work for both of us.
Okay. You can find yourself a nice good whore.
It's not Jen.
Might as well be.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
The question isn't whether which couple you would choose. The question is, which one are you more likely to survive an attack from me in the aftermath?
Well, then I'm done for anyway. All right. So, okay. The movie that Kirk had picked for us is his, again, patron pick for February. Thank you, Mark, for being a patron. Thank you, Kirk, I should say. I'm sorry. Thank you, Kirk, for being a patron. But the movie that he picked for us to watch was Creep from 2014, and it does score a 6.3 on IMDb. This is a weird movie. I mean, it's not, I guess you could call it a thriller. I wouldn't call it a horror movie.
Yeah, and if the plot in any way is ruined for you before you watch it, it's one of those situations where, all right, then I don't even, I mean, that's the whole thing. The whole story is based on just that.
Are you talking about like the end of the movie or?
Not necessarily the end, but like.
See, because I've heard shows talk about this movie and I honestly had no interest in watching it after hearing their discussion about the movie.
Yeah. I mean, part of the synopsis that they can't tell or they would give it away.
Yeah.
So, of course, if they can't tell you that part, you don't really have a whole lot to go on.
But, I mean, it was a thorough discussion that they talked about it. But, like, I never had any interest in watching this movie. I think we started it once, and we got to the tubby time scene, and we're like, this is fucking weird. So we turned it off.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, you know, despite Kirk's picks, he is a very, very good guy. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. We'll give him that. His picks are a little suspect. And I did give him a little bit of shit about him picking this movie. But
it's actually a good choice though, because it really makes you like think about it.
Well, okay. So I say I never had an interest in watching this movie, but we have actually watched the stupid movie three times.
Yeah.
Three times in the past week.
Yeah.
And it's like every time we watch it, you pick out just something a little bit more subtle that the main character does.
And the plot kind of allows you to do that because the plot is so basic.
It is. It's like a found footage movie and it just plays out the way it plays out.
Yeah. Like nothing that happens is really a surprise.
The very end is surprising, but the rest of it is just, I mean, the movie's name is Creep, and the guy that the main character is just that. He's a creep.
Mm-hmm. He does. But I went into watching it like not even knowing the synopsis. So the creep could have been the cameraman for all I knew when the movie was starting.
True. I guess you don't know. I mean, I knew because I'd heard about it, but yeah, wouldn't have had any.
And that's a lot of the movies that we talk about are movies that I didn't do any research before watching it.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not doing that because I want to, you know, get a pure version of the movie so I could make for a better, like, review.
Right.
I just.
Which makes total sense because you want to go into it and you want fresh thoughts.
Yeah.
And unbiased.
Right. And if you and I had a conversation ahead of time, I could use little subtle hints and inflections in the way you were describing things to kind of get an idea of where this movie is headed. And so I wouldn't even need to watch it.
Right. And that's why I said we should always keep our opinions to ourselves when we're watching.
Well, we don't while we're watching. Remember, I mean, you've known that about me from day one is that I yak throughout the entire movie.
Well, we talk about the movie, but just in terms of the show, especially if we're reviewing it for the show, we should keep like our main opinions to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, like I said, sometimes you go off the wall and it's fun. It keeps me on my toes and it's surprising.
The shit that comes out of my mouth is just as much of a surprise.
That's what I mean. So, but again, so the movie that we watched, yes, was Creep from 2014. Does score a 6.3 on IMDb.
All right, we are leaving the flatlands and we are heading up towards the mountaintop. The ad said $1,000 for the day, filming services. Discretion is appreciated.
A yellow door. And realizing that no one knows I'm here.
Hi! Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
I'm assuming you're Aaron.
Yeah, I'm Aaron. Nice to meet you.
Joseph. Oh my god. Oh my god. This is gonna be a good day.
So the reason I've hired you is because I have terminal brain cancer, and I want you to film me to make a video diary for my unborn son. You ready for this?
Okay. Joseph!
This is called an adventure. Woo-hoo! We don't know exactly where we're going, but I have a feeling. When you follow those feelings, great things can happen. Don't ever forget that.
Joseph!
There was about 2 seconds there where it looked like you wanted to kill me.
Joseph, I think I'm gonna head back. You see my keys?
One drink, okay?
Bottoms up.
Out of that house right now.
Joseph.
Why do you look scared? Don't be scared. It'll all be over soon.
And here is the plot breakdown. Aaron, who is one of the... There's only two characters in the entire damn movie. Aaron, who is driving to meet Joseph. Now, Aaron, as he's driving, he's recording himself with a video camera of some sort. And he is explaining to the camera that this guy, or he found an ad on Craigslist or something. And the guy offered up $1,000 for 8 hours of his day just to record his day. You find out why in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Aaron gets to this Joseph's house. So Joseph isn't home when Aaron gets there, and Aaron decides to wait in the car. And then out of nowhere, Joseph jump scares Aaron, which is a reoccurring theme in this movie. And
it's a reoccurring theme in a lot of movies.
Well, not like that. I mean, this guy, like, jump scares, yes, but like the way this guy does it, it's like he's jumping out from around corners and he's like,
just, yeah, it's just like one of those shitty things like an older brother would do.
Yeah.
to a kid.
Exactly. So they end up, you know, Joseph apologizes to Aaron and he says, hey, you know, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You don't know me. But they end up hugging it out, and Joseph explain, or they go up into the cabin. Joseph explains that he had cancer of the lungs and liver, and he beat that. But then he started having these like cognitive, what did he call them? Cognitive dissociation or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Misfires in his synapses or whatever. So he goes back into the doctor and he finds out that he has like a baseball sized brain tumor. Kind of tells Aaron like this, okay, this is, you know. So yeah, Joseph explains to Aaron that, hey, I want you basically for 8 hours of the day, I want you to record me. Everything I do so I can explain to my unborn son. He does say he's married. He wants to record himself for his unborn son to, you know, so the son has some idea of what Joseph is like.
Like my life.
Yes. Yeah. That, yeah, the movie with Michael Keaton. And he does actually bring that up. So then they go up into the bathroom and they have tubby time. The first time we watched it, this is where we turn it off. Like, this is fucking just, this is weird. So, it's not salt burn tub time. That's even weirder. but, so, Joseph strips naked. He hops into the tub. And he's pretending that he's, like, bathing his son. And he's making all these, like, noises and kind of, like, what do you, like, he's pretending like he's smelling his feet and...
Yeah, and at first you're kind of like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of like, that's not really sweet. It's just weird.
It is,
you know,
weird.
The more you...
Well, it's creepy.
Yeah, and he gets a little bit more, like, intense with his behavior.
Yeah.
As the scene progresses.
Well, right, because he starts, like, he... Pretend like he lays back in the tub and he pretends like he's got a son on his chest and he's rubbing his, like, obviously imaginary son's head,
which would be a sweet thing to think about if.
And then he sits up and he's like, he says, oh man, this is getting really deep, you know. Joseph does, and he slinks down into the tub and he's laying there. And then suddenly he pops up and he scares Aaron again. And of course, Aaron's all pissed off because this is the second time in basically like an hour that this Joseph guy has jump scared him.
He was just about done with all the hijinks.
So what they end up doing, they leave the bathroom and they're going downstairs. And for some reason, Aaron opens up a closet door. And on the top shelf of this closet door, or the top shelf of the closet, is this wolf mask. So Joseph explains that this is the Peach Fuzz mask, and he does a little jig and a song, and he, you know, kind of like, he explains that he got the mask for his son, but he doesn't want his son to be scared. You know, Peach Fuzz is this good wolf, whatever. And then they end up driving off to find what Joseph calls a healing pool. And Joseph explains that it's supposed to have this like mystical, you know, power. It's like there's a pool in the shape of a heart in the middle of this rock formation out in the woods. And so they drive off into the woods and they're doing all this hiking and stuff. And Aaron again, or I'm sorry, there's only two characters. I shouldn't mix up their fucking name. So Joseph kind of runs ahead of Aaron, and Aaron follows him, and as Aaron comes up over the crest of this giant, like, boulder or something, Joseph jump scares the fucker again. And, like, Aaron, like, before he was irritated, now he's pissed. He's like, you can't keep fucking doing that. Joseph is like, Well,
you can tell he's kind of torn between getting pissed off and telling him, you know, knock it off.
Yeah.
But he also believes that, you know,
this guy's got cancer.
Yeah, and you know, and he believes wholeheartedly in the idea of, you know, making the film for, you know, his son to watch someday. So it would kind of be a struggle too.
I mean, would it though? Would you stick around?
Well, there was the twist, not really a twist, when he says, here, here's the money.
Yeah.
Joseph says to Aaron, so we'll get that out of the way. We're not thinking, you know, when is it going to be over? You know, he doesn't have to worry about being, you know, stiffed once the film is done.
Right.
And so it's kind of like an earnest deposit sort of thing.
Yeah.
By saying, now that I've given you your full pay for this, so, you know.
Oh, he's kind of like trapped into being
like,
there.
Yeah, like blackmail or, you know, but like emotional blackmail.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I see. Okay, I get your point. Yeah, I see your point. So, yeah, he says, you know, Joseph tells Aaron, he's like, I caught a little glimpse of something in your eyes there, almost like you wanted to leave or you had the urge to, like, punch me or maybe even kill me. And Aaron says, no, I wasn't going to, but, you know, you got to stop doing that shit. So they end up finding the heart-shaped pool and they take a little dip. They're splashing their feet around and they're, you know, just kind of goofing around. And
Aaron's a nice guy, right?
He is. I mean, you know,
you get that because he's dealing with the whole, you know, immaturity of the scaring him, and you know, he has a lot of patience, and
I think he's naive.
He might be a little naive. He might be like one of those people that just has not had like a horrible like adverse experience to like make him jaded against
true
people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. You keep bringing up good points. Still Pinhead and Lola, though. So
yeah,
they after they do their little tippy toes in the pool and whatever, Joseph suggests that they go to Billy Bear's, which is quote unquote has the world's best pancakes. So they drive off and they go to this little restaurant, this little kind of diner, you know, hole in the wall place. And as they're sitting there eating. Or Aaron is still filming, and he's filming this, you know, the entire interaction. And Joseph picks up the menu, and he's looking at the menu and says, you know, Aaron says, well, I thought the pancakes were the world's best. And Joseph says, well, you know, they changed the menu. It's been a while since I've been here, but yeah, the pancakes are definitely the best. You know, that's why we're here.
Aside from him being just completely a nut job, this was the first time in the movie, I think, that people are kind of starting to break down
that Joseph is a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there's something sinister there.
Well, you even brought that up when we were watching it.
Yeah.
You can clearly see that he's lying.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that was, you know, you picked up on that right away. So as they're sitting there eating, Joseph says, you know, why don't you share something with me? We're here, you know, this movie is about me, but why don't you share something? So he grabs the camera from Aaron and he points the camera at him and he says, you know, tell me something that you've never told anybody or that you, you know, very rarely share with anybody. So Aaron tells this story about how when he was younger, he used to wet himself all the time. He would just go whenever because he was too lazy to get up or too, you know, just didn't want to go to the bathroom and take a leak. So he's telling the story and he says his mom bought him this sensor that had like one, like a buzzer on his wrist and a little bell. And then it had a wire that went up his arm and down into his shorts or pants that whenever it got wet, it would trigger this alarm on his wrist. So he continues with the story and he says one day he was playing on the jungle gym or the monkey bars with, you know, a bunch of his friends. He felt like he had to go, but he didn't want to leave because he was having too much fun, and he ended up just wetting himself right there in front of everybody.
That's kind of unveiling his vulnerabilities.
Well, right, and I think that, like, I think Joseph used that, much like his lie with the pancakes, he used that to manipulate Aaron a little bit. So Aaron finishes his story and then he gets the camera back and Joseph says, I got something to show you. So he takes out his phone and he's got pictures of Aaron at the cottage or the cabin before Joseph showed up. So he's like, yeah, I took pictures of you because I was afraid to meet you and I was worried that you wouldn't like me. And again, the manipulation.
Yeah. But you're still kind of holding out that last hope that they want us to think that because there's going to be a twist that you're not expecting.
So they end up leaving, and Joseph wants to, they go back to the cabin. Joseph wants to have a whiskey with Aaron. They're standing outside the cabin on these, like, really big staircase. And he says, why don't you come in, we'll have a whiskey, and then you can go. And Aaron's like, well, no, I got all my stuff here already. I got all my gear. I got my keys, my, you know, camera, all that stuff. I don't need to go in. And I'm just going to take off and, you know, stay down the road at a motel or whatever. And Joseph ends up convincing Aaron to come inside because he's like, you know, it's dark. You get lost. The road back is windy, whatever the case was. And so Aaron says, all right, fine. Well, one drink and then I'm gone. So they end up going upstairs and having a drink. And they have their one whiskey. Aaron gets up to leave, but he can't find his car keys. So what happened to his car keys? We don't ever find out. Joseph hops up and he says, hey. He says, listen, it's late. It's dark. We'll find your car keys in the morning. The cabin will be full of bright light, full of sunlight. You can find your car keys then. So Aaron says, okay, all right, you're right. They end up having a couple more drinks, a couple more whiskeys. And Joseph says, okay, listen, I got something to confess. He goes, the peach fuzz mask wasn't for my son, but you got to turn the camera off. You can't film this. So Aaron turns the camera off, but he keeps the sound on. Joseph explains that him and his wife were at home and the internet started getting super, super slow. He talked to a guy at work. The guy says, well, you got to clear the history folder on your computer. So Joseph goes back home and he looks on the history and on the internet. And it turns out there's a...
You don't really have to look at the history to clear the cache.
No, you don't. I don't know. But that's that's just what he said. So he looks through the history and he sees all this animal porn, bestiality porn. And he says, I know I didn't look at it. And there's only two people that use the computer, myself and my wife. So she was the only one that could have done it. And he confronts her about it. She says no. Well, later that night, he ends up leaving because he, quote unquote, got a call from work. Well, he goes down the road to like a dime store or what? Dime store.
I think it was a dollar store.
A dollar store. And he picks up this peach fuzz mask, the wolf mask. And he comes back home. He breaks into the window. He sneaks into the bedroom and he ties his wife up. And he ends up having what he called was animalistic, nasty sex. Or intercourse, I think is the word that he used. But this amazingly animalistic intercourse. And he tied her up. And then when he was done, he got up and he left. And then he came back the next morning. And he says when he got home, he looked at his wife and he said, you know, he asked her, how was your evening? And she just said, you know, it was fine. And he said she had like a sly grin on her face or on her face. And he said slowly after a couple of weeks, the internet started going or the computer started going back to normal speed. And he says, Aaron, I raped my wife. And then it just kind of cuts out and they move on to the next topic. So they have another whiskey and Joseph ends up passing out on the
fireplace
mantle. Thank you. And he's kind of like,
not the mantle. Would that be considered the hearth?
The hearth. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, Joseph passes out on the fireplace hearth and he kind of starts touching himself and he's like, oh, peach fuzz, you know, and he's just like, he ends up passing out. Well, Aaron still can't find his car keys. So what he does is he starts going through Joseph's jacket pockets. And he finds a phone, and then as he's reaching over to the other side to see, to check that pocket, Joseph's phone rings. So Aaron runs off into the bathroom, and he answers the phone, and there's a voice of a woman on the other end that says, you know, I'm looking for Joseph. And Aaron says, well, he's asleep. So
I don't want to interrupt you.
Interrupt me. That's what you do.
Well,
go grab more. Grab a whiskey. I can pause it. And we're back. So anyway, this woman on the phone says, I'm looking for Joseph. Aaron says, Joseph is asleep. She says, well, who is this? And Aaron says, well, Joseph hired me to film him for the day, and I can't find my car keys. I'm just trying to, you know, leave for the night. And she says, well, like, Where are you at?
You need to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like right now.
She says, where are you at? And he says, I'm at this cabin, you know, I don't know the address or whatever. And she says, okay, yeah, you need to just like get out of the house. Just leave the house, forget about your keys, walk down the road, and somebody will pick you up.
We're to believe that this woman is Joseph's wife.
Right. Yes.
But we find out that
it's not.
It's not his wife.
At this point, you find out it's his sister.
So there's now they're starting to get some like getting caught in more than one lie. And it's kind of like snowballing.
Yeah.
You're starting to think. And if his sister is going to say, you know, you need to get out of there like right now, he's dangerous. That kind of you do kind of expect that that's going to happen.
Well, again, creep.
Yeah. But again, Hollywood loves to make you think one thing and do the other.
True, true. Which I did hear, and I'm going to take us off on a tangent. Barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to another show today, and I don't remember who it was, but they brought up the idea about how cool would it have been if you found out at the very end that Peter Skarsgård, or whoever played it, whatever his name is, was actually the creep instead of the old guy.
Well, I felt like they didn't give him enough of a part in the movie. I mean, he's pretty much, he doesn't even make it to like half the movie.
Well, no. And that's like three movies in one. But what if like at the end, like during the end credits, they had a scene?
It would have been like everything is coming full circle now.
Yeah.
And it does make you kind of wonder, now that they brought that up, why the writers didn't do that.
I don't know. It would have added an entirely different level, layer to the movie.
Yeah.
Like if Peter Skarsgård, is that his name? I don't even know if that's his name. But
Peter, Christopher?
Pete Skarsgård? Whoever the fuck played it. Anyway, like if they had a mid-credit scene at the end where he was like filming in the basement room with the nasty bed and the bucket and the video camera.
Like the on the boat footage from Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, exactly. Something like that. Yeah. It would have added a completely different layer to that movie. Take out the part with the old guy and the kidnapping and the, you know.
How cool is it to have a movie where you get to talk about it with somebody and they're like, I just didn't like the ending. And you said to them, did you keep watching?
Yeah.
Right. That would be like a really cool element to have to a movie, because that would build a buzz around it.
It would. And that would be one of those things, like, you know, it would change so much of the movie. Like you think he's the bad guy, but then you think he's the good guy, but then it turns out that he's the bad guy.
You have an aha moment, and people love when they have like an epiphany.
Your mind would be like completely blown. sorry, Allie, for taking us off on a tangent. But anyway, so Joseph ends up, he runs off downstairs. Or I'm sorry, we'll go back. So Aaron hangs up the phone and he goes back out into the living room, family room, whatever. And Joseph is no longer on the hearth. Aaron's kind of looking around. He's looking around corners. He tries his own jump scare and like hops around a corner and yells, ha, you know, like, I got you kind of thing. And then he spies that the sliding door or door wall is slightly cracked. So he goes out the door wall and he's looking around on the deck. And as he turns around slowly, Joseph is standing there and he just says, death. And then he makes some small speech about something. I don't even remember what it was.
It's kind of at this point, you're kind of like, this guy needs to like knock it off and just shut up.
Because he's
like cooking his own goose with the audience at that point.
At this point, you're like, as the audience are starting to get really irritated with the dude.
Yeah. And we're starting to think, because Aaron is this nice guy, you know, we're wanting him to be a little bit more proactive.
Right.
You know, and getting to the bottom of things, which he's not. And I think I mentioned that when we were watching the movie, he's not that's not who I would have cast for that role. I would have picked somebody that was more known, because the guy that played the role, he didn't make you feel like he was playing a character.
Are you talking about Joseph or Aaron?
Aaron.
Okay.
I mean, Joseph was good because he kind of had that like innocent kind of, you know, I mean, when you find out, you know, he's supposed to be having cancer and all that. And he kind of looks like the guy from Office Space.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. He looks like a good guy.
Yeah.
And I think that they did a good job when you have to have, you know, the bad guy play a dual role where, you know, sometimes he's, you know, the archangel and sometimes he's, you know, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a good job with that because he looks like a nice guy. But once you start to like unveil, once they start to unveil more about him, he looks a little bit more and more like he's got a screw loose.
Yeah. You know? Well, he's always got this like blank expression on his face. But you can't tell if it's like evil or dumb.
Yeah. And you really don't know that throughout the movie. You don't know if he's just, is he really naive? Because at the end, you still don't really know.
Right.
But yeah, anyway,
I don't know.
Back to what I was saying about Aaron, there was no like progression of a character, I feel like, for him.
For him, there was not. No.
It was just like blah, you know? And I said that he has like just one of those faces where he's not ugly, but he's not, you know, hot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really like, there's nothing about him that stands out. Whether it be his looks or his personality or his acting, there's nothing that makes you go away from the movie. Your takeaway is that, you know,
it's not quite Beckpfeifengesicht. You know, I like to use that word. Beckpfeifengesicht, a punchable face.
No, it's just a blah face.
Yeah.
But
I think he's supposed to be like, compared to Joseph, I think he's supposed to be just like straight laced, plain.
Well, and that's fine, but he's, yeah.
I can't think of his name though.
Is it Jason?
You're thinking of Jason Lee. It's not Jason
Lee. No, not Jason Lee.
The main character from Office Space. Yeah. I can't. I keep wanting to say Andy Dufresne, but that's not his name.
With Aaron's character, if he is going to be the protagonist of the movie, he's got to add something to it. And he just didn't add.
Maybe he's almost too innocent.
And that's kind of like a kind of a dud, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they should have chosen somebody that, like I said, they were kind of well known, but it would have brought some kind of like a personality to the character.
Right.
Because I don't feel like, I think that there's, you know, they tried the scene where they were supposed to be bonding at, you know, at the heart-shaped
pool.
And there was almost a sense of personality with him because they bonded together. And you're like, okay, maybe now he'll break out of his shell and be a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
No, he really never did. Like, his character is, well, like I said, it's just like, it's plain. It's like flatline.
Yeah.
He doesn't really, I mean, he gets emotional towards the end when, you know, you learn out that Joseph is kind of stalking him. But even then, it's still like, you know, he calls the cops and he says, oh, hey, this guy's doing this. And then, but the only anger that he really gets is, like, he says, okay, you know, he yells at the cops on the phone and he says, okay, you guys have been really unhelpful. Thanks for nothing, you know. But he doesn't really go like, his level of anger is only like a 3.
Yeah.
And Joseph's level of creepiness is at like an 8, and then it goes to a 10.
Yeah. His character evolves.
Yeah.
Aaron's character does not.
Right.
And you would think towards the end, as he's becoming more of the main player, that there would be some sort of like a metamorphosis into like some kind of like.
You'd think he'd want to like character. Fight back.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's not walking away from this film, and people will know what they saw him on because of his role.
Yeah, I don't know who he is otherwise.
And so. I think that was a mistake. Look at how much on Barbarian, was it Jason, the funny guy?
Oh, God damn.
I know.
Nate? No. Shit.
I want to say it's Jason something. Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
Look at how much personality he brought to that role.
Right. Because he was funny.
Yeah.
Okay. This Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, we were way off.
And Justin Long.
Justin.
Yeah.
I knew it was a J name.
Okay, yeah, we were way off. Peter Skarsgård. Isn't Peter his dad? Isn't there a Peter Skarsgård?
There's an Alexander.
Alexander. I don't know if they're related. I think that's
his brother.
Because there's a Sarsgaard and a Skarsgård.
The one is the one from Orphan.
Orphan. That's a Sarsgaard.
Yeah. No, but there is an Alexander.
Skarsgård.
I think they're, what are they, Swedish?
Swedish or Dutch or something.
Norland.
Okay. Yeah.
Rockwurst and shillelaghs. Dr. Frood.
What is it? I had two Friday nights on a Saturday or something like
that. Back then, he was talking about this from Best in Show. Back then, I had, you know, two Friday nights and a Saturday night on a weekend and dated him for about a minute.
Yeah.
Got so exhausted.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, let's see. Okay. So, they're on the deck. Joseph just says death and makes a small speech. And then he books it into the house, into the cabin. Runs down the stairs. And Aaron's like, do I fucking follow him? Or what do I do at this point? So, he's calling out Joseph's name. And he says, Joseph, you know. He walks down the stairs. And Joseph is standing in front of the door, the front door, wearing the peach fuzz mask. He starts rubbing his butt on the door, which I didn't understand.
That. Yeah, that was strange to me also.
So Aaron's like, just let me by. I want to leave. It's time for me to go. I'm leaving. And he ends up charging Joseph at the door. And then the camera cuts. Like, the camera got knocked down or something. Now we cut to Joseph. And he's hauling these big-ass black trash bags, like, up this hill in the woods again. And he starts digging a hole. And then the camera cuts to Aaron. Aaron pops up and he says, Joseph sent me this video. And I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, intimidating or if he's supposed to be, like, if he's trying to scare me or what. Aaron ends up putting the video away. And then Aaron wakes up in the middle of the night. He goes to sleep. He wakes up in the middle of the night. And again, he's on the camera. And he starts telling about this dream. And in the dream, he says that he's dreaming that him and Joseph were in a hot tub. And they're both wearing peach fuzz masks. And the blood or the water in the hot tub starts turning to, like, blood. And then Joseph, like, rubs the blood on Aaron's face, and then Aaron wakes up. Really kind of weird. The next morning, another package arrives, and it's this big box, like a 2x2 box or whatever. It has a stuffed wolf animal in it, a knife, and another DVD. In the video, Joseph says that wolves have a heart of gold, even though they're kind of murderous. And he tells Aaron to cut the wolf open and pull out what's inside. So Aaron reaches in, pulls out a necklace with a locket on it. And he opens it up. The locket starts playing music somehow.
Yeah, there's no...
It would have to be the most microscopic, unless it's like a little, like, chip or something.
Yeah, but like it would need a speaker of...
I have no idea. So he opens up the locket, and the locket starts playing this music, and he walks up to the camera, and he shows what's inside the locket, and it's a picture of him and a picture of Joseph. And he's like, all right, I'm done. So,
creepy!
This is where he ends up calling the cops, and he tells the cops, like, listen, I want to report a stalker. The dude is just, like, really, really creepy, and he sent me a stuffed animal, a locket, and a knife. And the cop says, like, you know, what's the guy's name? And Aaron says, well, it's Joseph, but I don't even know if that's his real name because everything he's told me has been a lie. And I just don't know what to do.
And I feel, and this is probably the point at which I dislike Aaron's character the most, because he is really tall.
Oh, he's super tall.
He's not, you know, some little shrimp, you know, that would need some protection.
Well, he's tall, but he's super lanky.
He's not really that lanky. I mean, if you're going to hire somebody to play a role and you're going to make sure you hire somebody that's like that tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's skin and bones. I mean, he's just like normal weight, but he's super tall.
Yeah.
You would expect and you can see, obviously, you know, that he is super tall in the movie.
Well, because like you pointed out, he's got ape arms like I do.
Yeah. Yeah. super long arms.
His jacket doesn't come down to his wrists.
And that's the part where I'm like hoping that it makes sense why they cast him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he starts to get all like, calling the police. I'm a little pussy. I can't take care of myself.
What would you do in that situation, though?
I would be sitting in the dark with a shotgun in my hand, waiting for him.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, he's big enough. He could be intimidating if he wanted to be.
I guess he could, but yeah. I don't know. Patrick Bryce is the guy's real name, so. Sitting in the dark with a shotgun. All right. So Aaron changes the locks, and he calls the cops. The cops are no help. And it's nighttime again, and he hears thumps and bumps. He wakes up. He's got the camera on him again, and he ends up going outside. Or, I'm sorry, he's walking around the house. He goes around, and he turns on all the lights in the house. And as he's like...
Another pussy. I'm turning on the lights. Who's out there?
So he's got this knife, and of course, one of the stupidest tropes in horror. Is there someone in the house? Is there someone out there? Which... I won't even mention that one yet because people don't know about that. But anyway, so yeah, he says he's calling out. Is somebody there? Is somebody there? And he's got this like glass pane window. I don't know if it's the front door or whatever. And as Aaron is walking around the house, he's off camera, but you see this door through the camera lens, and Joseph is standing there. He kind of slinks up to the door and he's just standing there. And just as Aaron comes around the corner, Joseph ducks down real quick and goes out of sight. Aaron ends up going outside and he's looking around. He's still got the camera. He's still got the knife. And he's walking around the house, making sure there's no intruders or whatever. And then he goes and he finds that the dumpster had been knocked over. So he just assumes that it's raccoons and he goes back into the house and that's it. The next morning, Aaron wakes up and there is one last DVD placed on his windowsill. Joseph had cut the screen and put the DVD on the windowsill through the screen. So Aaron watches it again, and it's Joseph on the screen explaining to Aaron that he is a little off, obviously. But
he just wants a chance to like explain how he is, and you know,
he wants a chance to redeem himself,
right? And he is absolutely he just wants to make amends with Aaron,
right? Yeah. So he says, I've always burned bridges with people. Nobody really wants to be my friend because I'm a little off. He says, I've tried medicine, I've tried therapists, but nothing seems to work. And he says, listen, he goes, just give me a chance to explain myself and kind of like make it up to you. We'll just talk, nothing, no filming, whatever. So he says, I'm here at this park. I'll be back at 11 in the morning. It's a public park. It's wide open. You can't see, you know, there's no place to hide.
Perfectly safe.
None of that stuff. So Aaron is like, you know, what the fuck do I do? So
that's like the nice guy. The nice guy is like,
the nice guy never wins.
Yeah. And that he's like, what the hell am I supposed to do now? You know, because he feels bad.
Yeah. So the next morning, Aaron's sitting in the car and he's got the camera trained on this park bench. And he explains to the camera, he says, okay, I'm filming this interaction and I've got 911 on my speed dial. So if anything weird happens, I can call the cops immediately. Just hit one button and it dials out to the cops. So he gets out of the car and he goes to sit on this bench and he's sitting there. And then from the side of the screen comes Joseph, and he's wearing this trench coat. And you kind of see something drop down by his feet. You don't really know what it is at the time.
He's also wearing the peach fuzz mask.
Well, he takes the peach fuzz mask out of his trench coat and he puts it on. And then he's still standing there. And he's standing there. And Aaron's still sitting there. He's looking out at the water. He's still sitting there, not moving.
And if you're expecting somebody,
you'd kind of be on the lookout.
Yeah. You'd be like, have your back to the water. And like.
Yeah, he should. Yeah. Definitely should have been faced the other
way. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, like you said, if you're waiting for somebody.
Right.
Don't just assume that they're going to show up, or maybe they're looking over here while you're over there.
Well, not only that, he knows that this guy is like, he gets off on like jump scares and sneaking up behind him.
Yeah.
It never once occurred to him that he might do that again.
I
like, he really thinks that the guy is
certainly expect it
yeah.
at this point. So yeah, Joseph puts on the peach fuzz mask and you see him grab what you now find out is an axe. You did see the axe earlier in the movie, but we never mentioned it. So he takes this axe and he's still standing there. And it's almost like he is waiting for Aaron to turn around. Because like after every move, he puts on the mask and then he waits.
Mm-hmm.
And then he picks up the axe and he waits. And then he like flips his trench coat open real quick, trying to make like a rustling sound. And then he waits. And Aaron's still just looking out at the lake, not moving.
And how he didn't hear.
All I can assume is wind and water splashes and something. I don't know.
I think I did say I totally would have heard him standing. And you said that I couldn't hear a dump truck driving through nitrogen. That's right.
But now, see, we had the subtitles on and it did say that there was a chainsaw buzzing. So maybe that was accompanying the rest of the sound too,
but like you could tell it was out. Like in the distance.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So Joseph picks up this axe, picks up the ass. Joseph picks up this axe and he raises it above his head. And again, he pauses and he waits. And then finally he brings the axe down into Aaron's head. And I will say, the sound of the axe hitting his head, that thump.
They did do a really good job with that.
It was like,
it was very realistic.
Yeah. It made just like, it was really good. And we, you know, we got surround sound here in the movie room and you catch it out of the front speaker, but I also caught it out of this the speaker behind me. And it was just like, I don't want to say satisfying thud, but it was like really effective.
Yeah.
Like thud.
It was kind of scary how real it looked and sounded with the sound effect.
Yeah.
It didn't have like what you would expect from a horror movie with blood gushing all over the place. Yeah,
you'd expect it to be like a squelching sound.
But this was like you could hear the axe knocking his head.
So Aaron, yeah, obviously is dead because he just had an axe buried into his head. And the camera is still trained on him. And then you get this. I fucking hate this. Joseph obviously must have known that Aaron was filming this entire scene because Joseph's head pops into the screen, yells, and then the camera cuts. And you see that Joseph had been watching this scene on another TV while he was filming himself. He was actually filming the scene on TV that was being filmed by Aaron, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. And then he turns the camera onto himself and he's like, oh, that was a good one, you know, whatever. And he does a little bit more like speeching about, you know, like, I really thought you were the one. I thought you were going to be like, my best friend kind of thing. And then
you're my favorite of all of them.
Yeah. That's what he says. He says, you out of all the people that I've interacted with, you were my favorite. And so then he turns the camera back onto the scene of himself murdering Aaron and he plays it over again. And then the screen cuts and then it comes back and Joseph is walking through another house. He answers the phone. So, you know, the phone rings, he answers it. And he's explaining to somebody else on the phone that he will pay $1,000 for 8 hours of their time just to record him for the day.
So he's just reliving the cycle.
Repeating again. Everything. Yeah. And he walks up into this closet and he takes the Aaron's DVD and he puts it on the shelf. And you see that there's like probably 20 DVDs and maybe 50 like video cassettes or VHS cassettes on this, you know, on the shelves of this closet. And then the camera cuts and the credits roll. So first things first, I didn't want to like this movie, but I think the more that we watch it, it grew on me.
Yeah, it's a watchable movie. And like you said, we watched it 3 times. We'll probably watch it maybe a couple more times.
I do want to see Creep 2 just to see what happens.
Yeah.
I that one I haven't heard anything about, so I don't know anything about that one. But, Mark, you dumb son of a bitch.
It's Kirk.
Sorry. Kirk, you dumb son of a bitch. I went into this because, like I said, I'd heard other podcasts talk about this movie. And it was always one, like, I never had an interest in seeing it. And again, like you just said, we've watched it 3 times. It's kind of growing on me because you pick up the subtleties of the stupid shit that Joseph is saying. And you're like, oh, man, yeah, I mean, can see it, but you don't, like, how could they not see it kind of thing?
But to come up with such an elaborate story about why he needed a videographer and, I mean... He did his homework. He's not stupid.
Well, right. No. I mean, he's obviously a shyster.
Yeah.
Shouldn't say shyster.
I don't think shyster.
I thought that always had like Jewish connotations. But anyway, so sorry if that was derogatory. But anyway, so yeah, he's always like you can clearly see that Joseph is like a slime ball, a manipulative slime ball. And he works the system almost to get the people that he's having record him to do what he wants. Because like you said earlier, he's playing on their sympathies.
Yeah.
And he pays them. So it's like, well, they can't back out now because he's already paid them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he's kind of like trapping them.
But Aaron was his absolute favorite. And that I believe because he says that he's his favorite because he always believed that he was a good guy.
Right.
He always believed that Joseph was a good guy. Yeah, he gave him the benefit of the doubt, even by showing up and letting him, you know,
jump scare him and all that kind of crap.
Well, right. And showing up at, you know, in the final scene, he's showing that he trusts him enough to at least let Joseph, you know,
try to explain to him, even though he ended up getting an axe.
And Aaron, because he sat there and didn't know what was coming for him.
Yeah.
The last thoughts that he had about Joseph were that he was a good guy.
Maybe he really is a good
guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just misunderstood. So, okay. What do you put this on the gore score?
Gore score, I would give it a 5.
A 5?
Yeah.
Just because of the one axe scene? But you don't see any blood.
It's not gory, but it is jarring.
Okay. All right. And then, your overall score.
My overall score would be about a 6.5.
Okay. Yeah, say I'll give it a 1. I mean, the sound was impactful, but there's no blood. And, you know, there's no close-ups on the, you know, of the scene, the aftermath or anything like that. The sound effect was definitely, it hits you just like it hits in the movie. But overall... Yeah, I think I agree with you. 6.5, something like that. We'll watch it again. We'll probably watch the second one just to see how much creepier he can get, if any.
Yeah. See if maybe his character evolves into something more intense or
so
dangerous.
But okay, so yeah, Kirk. What I thought was going to be a stinker turned out to not be a stinker. So I guess we can thank you for that.
Canadians do have good taste in movies.
But yeah, so I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together, we are Extreme Horror Replay. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. We do have a link tree in the bio that you can find our places to listen. You can find our Patreon, which or you can go to Patreon itself, www.patreon.com/XHR podcast. And we also have a TeePublic where if you want to buy, you know, a sticker, a mug, a hat, a pillow, a shirt, a sweatshirt, a onesie, I don't even know what else they have. I don't think they have hats. But anyway, yeah, all that is on the link in the bio. And yeah, shout out to the rest of our patrons, Crook and Joni. Did you ever come up with a nickname for Joni? What was the nickname you called her in when you were all at home, Joni?
Well, Mark called her Joan Marie Isaac. Not sure why. No, she's always just Joni.
Okay. Well, Joni, for now you're still Joni. We can call her Sil, sister-in-law. Well, that would be for me.
That would be, yeah, your sister-in-law. she's my full sister.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Joni, you're still Joni. Sorry, working on that one. But anyway, yeah, we want to thank you all for being here. And if you're going to leave a review, leave a nice one. Why not? You know, be pleasant. Don't be a butthead like Ally.
You don't have anything nice to say. Don't say it at all.
That still rubs me the wrong way. You know what's funny is I went back and I listened to the episode before the last episode, which would have been our, let's see, Eric Fan to the Mall was our last one. The Devil's Candy. And right at the very end, you said, if you're going to be a loser, don't leave a review. And the very next week, we got that shitty review. So I wonder if this Ally person
maybe I
took
instigated,
it personally.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm a loser. I'm going to leave a nasty fucking review. Whatever.
But like I said, we got to listen out of it. So who's the loser?
Yeah, but okay. So we are done. But thank you again to all of you listeners. Thank you again to our patrons, Kurt, Crook, and Joni. And we will talk to you all next week. So take care and be good to one another. No, be safe and be good to one another. And we will talk to you all later. Bye. Wow, that was sour grapes.
I didn't know you were expecting me to.
You always do it.
Well, I always do it. I didn't know you expected me to, though.
You're a real fart smeller. All right, we'll talk to y'all later. See ya.